We're talking about race, running the race. Probably part of most of what I'm being preaching about today, running the race. But I want you to do something. You know, people use the Bible for all kinds of different things, try to prove this, try to prove that. They use it for wrong purposes and all this. But I want you to do, if you've got a pen, I want you to open up your Bible to a verse. And I'll tell you what this book is all about and what it's for. It's just about one or two verses there. And just write it down and circle it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is not my text. This is, I just felt like doing it. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Listen to it. All Scripture. How many believes that what you're holding is your hand is all Scripture? That's all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, how many knows what the Bible's all about now? All Scripture, every bit of the Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. We know that, don't we? And it's but what is it? It is profitable for doctrine. The next thing, it is to reprove, correct, instruct us into righteousness. Huh? All Scripture. So a lot of folks use it for a lot of different things, you know, to prove this point, that point, mislead people and all those kind of things. But again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. We don't like that, do we? For correction. We don't like that either. We want something to make us feel good, but that ain't what it's all about. For correction, instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. That's the goal, to be perfect. We may never get there, but all of our goals should be to be as perfect as we can. That be perfect. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction in righteousness, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, mark that. And always remember that what that book, this book that we're talking about having up here tonight, what it's all about. What's it for? It's for to perfect us. Perfect us. To instruct us. To reprove us. Huh? Praise the Lord. I hang on that Scripture. All right, we're going to turn our Bibles to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to talk about the race. You know, a lot of folks is in a race, but they can't get nowhere because they got something that's holding them down. Hebrews, 12th chapter, verse 1, reading down. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be worried and faint in your mind. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine and all that. Now here we find Paul writes here in Hebrews, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. How many knows that there's a lot of folks that's witnessing our whatever we're doing? Whatever we're doing, if we're doing it right or if we're doing it wrong, there's folks that's looking it all over. How many knows that? Yeah. That we're foreseeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside what every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we got to lay aside what? Every weight. Now there's all kinds of weights. We've got weights on our mind. We've got weights, all kinds of things that will weight you down. And the devil has got a whole more, another truckload to dump on you if you want to let him dump it on you. But we got to get rid of every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us so we can run this race. I remember when I was a young boy, about 12 or 14, up to about 16 years old, we didn't have nothing to do hardly, and we'd run races. And we'd school, we'd run races, you know. And we'd take everything out of our pockets. We'd take our knife out of our pocket and everything that had any weight on it. Why, and we would run just as fast as we could run because we intended to win that race. See, we got to unload everything that holds us down. And if we unload everything that holds us down in lightness, there was very few of them that could run with me at that time. And I'd always unloaded everything out of my pocket. And there's so many weights that the devil is waiting out the door when you walk out the door. Maybe with a phone call that's going to weight you down a little more. Somebody that's going to dump a little bit more on you, a little bit more weights and a little bit more weights. But he said, let us lay aside what? Every weight that so easily besets us. And let us run with patience this race that is set before us. There's a race set before us. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. But he said, I fought a good fight. He run a good race too. How many know? When Paul done something, he done it good. And he had weights on him, but he knowed how to unload those weights. Even in the jailhouse, when him and Silas, in the 16th chapter of Acts, when they were put in jail, they sang and praised and sang praises unto God, and the jailhouse shook. They laid aside and got rid of the weights that was on them and was able to pray and receive the power of God that shook the jailhouse. The jailer started to kill himself. Paul said, do yourself no harm. Do yourself no harm. We're still here. We're still here. You see, and that night this jailer got saved and he was delivered. And let me tell you, he laid aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset. How many believes he had weights on him? He was in stocks. He was in bonds. How many knows what stocks and bonds is? There's something around your neck holding you down. Something that's holding your arms down. And something that's holding your legs down. He was in stocks and bonds. That was a weight to him. But when God moved and he entered into this thing like God wanted him and Silas to do, the stocks and bonds come loose. The jailhouse shook. And the doors come open. I want you to know that God's looking for a people and a church that will get down to business and get rid of all the weights. Even Christian people unload their weights on somebody else. Why don't we tell it to Jesus instead of telling it to somebody else? They always tell her, if you've got something bad, we want to tell, it seems like. But we need to be saying something good. It's like she said, something good is going to happen to you. We need to think that way. Something good is going to happen to me. And if something bad happens, shake it loose, move it off, get rid of it. Every weight that so easily besets us. Let us put off this here. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside. Amen. Not on us, lay aside every weight. You know, all kinds of things give you weight. Children give you weight. I remember my children when they was growing up, you know, I began to let them put weights on me, not just going on. They'd add a little bit more weights and weights and weights and weights. And finally, I just decided I was going to unload that and not let them put one more weight on me. Huh? You know, one of them, you know, maybe want me to sign a note, and another want me to do this and do that. And, you know, I quit all those things. I laid aside all those weights and all those things that was so easily besetting me. And you know what? It straightened them out. I've never been asked to sign another note. And they quit dumping stuff on me, and I got rid of the weights. And then there's people. There was a fellow Christians that would come and just dump stuff on you, you know, and leave it there. And we don't take time to tell them how to get rid of these things. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, and you can't be perfect as long as you're loaded down with everybody's junk. Come on, can you say that? We're not junkies. We don't need another junkyard. I'll tell you what we need. We need a church and people all over this nation that needs some of these things to get rid of some of these weights where they can run the race. Let's say run the race. Run the race. That's what God wants us to do, is to run the race. Somebody said, you got a lame leg. Yeah, but I'm running the race here on the inside of me. There's a big race going on.
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing. What goes on inside of you is what the race is.
Yeah.
It's what you've got in your heart. It's what you've got in your mind. I know people, they just got their mind so weighted down, so nervous. One of my lady told me one time, and she said that, I'm just sure I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm just sure I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I said, you keep saying that, and it'll come to pass. I'm sure that, and we need to agree that you don't want to, won't have a nervous breakdown. And she didn't have a nervous breakdown. Another said she was going to have a nervous breakdown. I said, well, let's agree with that on you also. But she didn't agree. She took on some more load, and she did have a nervous breakdown. You know you'll have what you say. The charismatics, they have something that, you know, they say you have what you say. Well, that's right in that area too. We don't tell God what we say. But the reason, the thing that we have to do, we have to unload everything that weights us down. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I'm sure that everybody has this thing. Everybody has it that has weights. And if you don't have one, there's someone that's ready to give you one. They're ready to tell you their sorrows and their troubles and all this, but they don't want to pray. They don't want to lay aside the weight. They don't want to get rid of it. You know, facts of the matter is, I know folks that wouldn't take anything. They really like to keep those weights so they'll have something to complain about. How many knows that complaint is one weight that we need to get rid of? Complainers out in the wilderness said they had to get rid. The complainers had to go. It was Joshua and Caleb that led the people into the promised land. It wasn't the murmurers. It wasn't the complainers. There was the two men that was above the age of 21 years old. When they left Egypt, they carried it on through. They didn't take on the weights. They stayed free. God, Caleb would always stand up and say, our God is with us. Let's go take it. And the rest of them would say, oh, but we saw giants in the land.
Amen.
That's a weight. Oh, 9 foot tall. But they said, but we brought home the grapes and brought forth the fruit of the land. How about that? Well, you know, they just wouldn't go on in. And because they had these weights in their mind. See, your mind is very important. You don't know weights in your mind. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wants his mind in there. He wants to get rid of our mind and get his mind in there. I'll tell you, when he gets his mind in there, we'll walk straight. We'll lay aside the weights that so easily besets us. And we'll begin to run. We'll begin to run the race that's set before us. And we'll begin to be more happy and joyful. How many knows that God also made us to have righteousness, peace, and joy? Paul said in Romans 14:7, he said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I read there in Matthew 6:33, where it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that you're worried about is going to happen. You know what they were talking about in Matthew chapter 6? What are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Oh, they were weighted down. What are we going to do? You know, Jesus said, told him, he said, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all this stuff that you're all weighted down with, it'll happen to you. Because seek ye first the kingdom of God. What was the kingdom of God now? Romans 14:17, when it comes into you, it's righteousness, it's peace. How many believe peace? That's no Lord, is it?
Amen.
I can carry a whole lot more of that.
Amen.
Righteousness, peace, and joy. Huh? in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to illustrate this just a little bit. I like this young man here on the front row. Come up here and stand right here with me. I'm going to give him a gift. We're going to say that he don't know what to do, and he's got this, and he's got this. I'm using this as an illustration. I don't know anything about it, but I know one thing. He's a receiver of the word. He's been sitting here eating this thing up every night. Now, if you're all troubled, you're weighted down, all down, and you seek first then the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things are going to be added to you. And this kingdom of God that He's talking about is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Have me that offering, but let's say that this is the vessel, and in this is the Holy Ghost, and it has righteousness, peace, and joy in it. Now, if I give you righteousness, the plate, the Holy Ghost, then you've got what? What's in the Holy Ghost? Righteousness. What else? Peace and joy. How did you get it? Through the Holy Ghost that I gave to you. I can't give it, but God gave it to you. So you've got righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that gets rid of all the weights. The devil's not going to stay around any place he can put a weight. Any place he can't put a weight. How many understood that? See, you get what you need. If you the fuller of the Holy Ghost you get, the greater that the power of God works in you, the more joy, the more peace, the more righteousness in the Holy Ghost. It's in the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, "Where's them scriptures at?" I just quoted them to you, Romans 12, 14, 17, and Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said, "Know ye not that the kingdom of God is within you?" So I have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because I have the kingdom of God in me. I don't care how many truckloads of weights the devil's got. I tell him, pass it on by. I don't want that. Just give me another shot of the Holy Ghost. Just give me another shot of the power of God. And when I get this power of God working in me, devil, you're going to be on the run. Somebody said, the devil's been after me all day. No, that's it. You've got to reverse the race. You've got to chase the devil all day. How many wants to be a devil chaser? Well, get full of the power of God. Get full of the Holy Ghost. And the devil, he'll run from you.
Amen.
If you don't bargain with him. If you don't listen to it, what is it that demonstrates God and what is it that demonstrates the evil one? John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, I come to give you life. It's not death. Not death. Life.
Amen.
So we find here that that to lay aside every weight, every one of them. Don't hang on to one. Somebody said, I like this one. I like this problem. I don't like problems. I like to get rid of them. Lay aside every weight that so easily besets us, and let's run this race with patience that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lay aside every weight. Get rid of it. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles back to Hebrews chapter 6. Now the whole thing is about perfection. And how many said that the man of God might be perfect? Do you remember that? Perfect. You know what perfect means? That means mature. And when we become mature in the Lord, then we're able to handle the devil. We know what to do with him. Get rid of him. Lay him aside. He's a weight too. How many knows that? He'll get right on and weight you down. He'll do it if you allow it. But we're not going to allow it. Now it says in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, therefore, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, what did he say? Therefore leaving the principles. Therefore leaving the principle. Let us go on to where? To perfection, to maturity. Grow up. Perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. I'm sorry to say it, but I know a lot of folks that's been in this thing for longer than I have, and they haven't grew up yet. They're not able to run the devil off. They're still whining around saying, the devil's been after me all day. I'll tell you what, we need to get something going that's stronger than that. We're going to have to lay aside every weight that so easily besets us and run this race with patience. Now, the principles are this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes this. Ephesians 4, 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, and some teachers for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints. Now that's what they're for, perfecting of the saints. Huh? So he gave them for the perfecting of the saints until we all become what? Let me just turn back to this here just a minute. Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some apostles, verse 11, and he said some prophets and some pastors, evangelists, and teachers, till we all come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's how big we can get.
Amen.
Like him. You see, the purpose is to be like him. As much as we possibly can. Stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? That they henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, they're lying in wait to dump a doctrine on you. A false doctrine. How many of you know, you won't get a false doctrine in that package of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You get righteousness, you get peace, and you got joy in the Holy Ghost. And we have to lay some things aside to do this. But speaking the truth in love, he said, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So here we come into love, the charity, the charitable love that God is speaking of here. And how many knows that faith worketh by what? By love. Know ye not that faith works by love? It won't work if we don't have love. You can have faith but without love, and it won't work without love. We've got to have that love, that godly love, that we love everybody. Everybody. The mean ones. Huh?
Yeah.
Those that's dumping all kinds of junk on us. Love them too. Huh? After a while they'll back off. Come on, there's all kinds of things that we need to get busy at here. And let's go back here to another scripture here, just a minute here. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 said, the yoke is destroyed because of the what? Of the anointing. No, the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. You know, that's once we get to where we need to be with God and get the power of God in our hearts and lives, then they say that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then that anointing begins to come upon us. How many knows the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing? The devil can put the yoke on there, but I'll tell you what, it's destroyed because of the anointing. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When God's with us, we can get rid of all the things that the devil tries to put on us. We can back him in the corner. Let's go a little further with this. And let us go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. who in the days of his flesh, he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So there comes some times that we have to suffer a little while. And being made, how many knows about suffering? You know, I used to think, boy, when the suffering comes along, Lord, get me out of this. You know, I don't pray that way no more. I say, Lord, take me through this. The three Hebrew children didn't mind go through the fiery furnace because Jesus, the fourth man, was in there with them. And they went through that. See, God wants us to get where we get through it. When you get through it, you've won the battle. If you get stuck in there, you get burned up. But you got to win the battle. We're winners and we're not losers. But let's go back here to this where we're at. And being made perfect, that's Jesus, became the author and eternal salvation and all them that obey him, to all them that obey. Called of God, he was called of God, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Oh, what did I preach last night? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Now, what's he saying here? He said these here are dull of hearing. They're dull of hearing. So if we're dull of hearing, we can't hear. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to the wise man that built his house upon a rock when the rain descended and the floods came and stood because it was builded upon the rock. So these people were dull of hearing. John, as we said last night, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, Revelation 1:10. And he heard behind him a voice speaking, and the voice told him all the whole book of Revelation. So therefore he had this book of Revelation within him because he was hearing it with this ear here. Not this ear here, this ear here. And if it's this ear of our heart that tells us these things, then we are hearing and not dull of hearing. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation and call of God and the high priest of Melchizedek, and whom we have many things to and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. How many knows we're supposed to keep our hearing good and sharp? Sharp hearing. Now, that's a spiritual hearing. But how many of you believe that the Lord's here tonight? Can you see him? How many believes I'm preaching? Can you see the words coming out of my mouth? But if you've got your ears on, you're picking up this message. If you're not interested in, the devil will put another rock on top of you. Weight you down. You know, I'm not interested in the word. I'm not interested in this. I just want to go. I want to feel this and I want to feel that. We better get interested in something that we can stand by, something that we can get rid of the devil with. We're going to have to get down to business. We're in a time right now. We're in the very last of the last days, as far as I can see.
Amen.
Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own self, proud, blasphemers, boasters, and be disobedient to parents. In other words, they're just a whole bunch of they're loaded with everything. People's loaded with drugs. They're loaded with alcohol, loaded with sin. And they're loaded with everything anymore. You know, when you get one of them people delivered, 9 times out of 10, they'll really get down to business. They'll get down to business and help out somebody else get unloaded. Are you loaded down with cares of this world? Has family members loaded you down? Has people that you know loaded you down? We got to have peace. Righteousness. That's what it is. Peace. And joy. Where's it at? In the Holy Ghost. It's just like handing this
package to you. This is righteousness, this is the Holy Ghost, we'll say. And in it is righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. And if I give it to you, like the Lord gives it to us, and puts it inside of us, what have I got on the inside of me? Righteousness, peace, and joy, and the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, yeah, but the devil's in there too. The devil and the Lord don't have, stay in the same house together.
Amen.
They do not. Don't ever let anybody tell you that. Somebody came to church one night and said, they're a Christian, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, and before they left there that night, they said they cast out 9 devils. I said, you didn't do no such thing. The Holy Ghost and the devil don't shack up in the same house.
They
don't live in the same house. They're not even on speaking terms. They don't eat the same thing. They don't enjoy the same thing. Everything's different about the Holy Ghost and the devil. He's a spirit, for he's no good. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Now, here we find in chapter 5, verse 12. For when for a time you ought to be teachers. You know, I know all kinds of people up our way. I don't know about here. I don't know the folks here very well, but I feel real good down here. I know that. But up there we have some things there that they ought to be teachers. They've been taught for years and years. And instead of being teachers, they have need to, another, Paul said, another teach you again, which are the first principles and the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. He said, well, for a time, you ought to be teachers, you still have to have the milk bottle. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, who are able, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Somebody said to me one time, if somebody got up and shouted around a little while and everything, the spirit was moving pretty good. And he said, now, do you think that was of God or of the devil? I said, what do you think it was? He said, I can't tell. I said, well, I'll tell you what it is. That was of God. After a while, somebody else done something. And he said, now, what was that? I said, that was the devil. Are you positive? I said, yes, I'm positive. I know both of them. And I can tell the difference in them. Can you? And listen, isn't it a shame that Christian people can't tell the difference in the devil and God? My Lord. Paul, you do me a favor. Get out there and start winning souls. Do the church a favor. Get out there and start winning souls. And begin to teach those people that you win to God to how to discern between God and the devil, and how to the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall not pass away. The word will not pass away. John 6:63 said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. What I'm preaching to you right now here is spirit and it's life. Do you want that? Or do you want to take your burdens home? You want to take your troubles home? Jesus is here tonight. Has been every night. Somebody said, well, I've been down there once. Well, it won't hurt to go 13 times or 14 times. Well, it wouldn't hurt if everybody went to altar every time you had church.
Amen.
That didn't bad. Well, I'd like to have a church where they all went to the altar every time they had church and pray about an hour right down there at the altar. They're moving. They're getting something done in their spirit and in their soul. Our soul is connected with the fleshly realm and the spiritual realm. And guess what? The soul is what gets troubled and tired and wore out because the flesh is pulling one way and the spirit's pulling the other way.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. It's kind of like a little chicken. You throw the worms out there, and one will get one end of the worm, and the other will get the other end of the worm, and the battle's on. I used to raise chickens, too. Learned a lot about raising chickens. We had several hundred young chickens, and I'll just tell this since I got into it anyhow. And they got to where they was pecking each other's toe, and they'd get to bleeding, and then they just the others would just peck all of the toes, and so I had the chickens as an agriculture FFA kind of a program, and I took chickens for my course. And so I had these chickens there, and they was biting one another. So I went and asked my agriculture teacher, what do I do about that? He said, kill a rabbit or just something that's got meat on it and just tie a string on it and hold, put it just a little bit over their head. And you know what happened? Them little fellers started quitting pecking each other's toes and they began to pull that meat over that there and eat, and all that little contentment. Chickens have a little ones have that little contentment, you know, Sam. And they're just as happy as they could be. And you didn't hear one of them screaming when someone else was tearing off. You see, it's kind of like this. If we look up, when you see all these things coming, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The chicken knew to look up. It spared all the other chicken. I thought that was pretty good.
Amen. Yeah.
I was about 15 years old, and I went back and I told him, I said, that problem is solved. They're all looking up. He said, that's the point. They get them looking up, and they won't eat on each other. Come on, that's kind of the way it is. Christians, you know, they won't chew on each other. If you get them looking up, they're swallowing down the good things of God. But as long as they're looking down, and as long as there's something there, they're going to pick at it and pick at it and pick at it. And no matter how hard they squall and cheat, they just keep picking at them. Where am I at? I'm in the chicken yard now.
Reach it.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead, doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and it is an eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Now, so it says here in the 12th verse here of the 5th chapter, when for a time there ought to be teachers, that have need that one teach them again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. A fellow asked me a question here a while back, and I thought I'd give him a pretty good answer. He said, do you believe in the God who resurrect the dead? I said, sure. Do you believe he'll raise people from the dead? I said, sure. I kind of kidded him along. I said, that happens to me all the time. I resurrect lots of people. I go into lots of dead churches and they have to be resurrected before we can have anything else.
Amen.
I'm not talking about you folks, but I go into some of you guys, they're dead. Amen. They're dead, 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 dead. It takes about a week to get their attention. And when they begin to rouse in their attention, they say, here we go. We're going to have revival. And I've had as high as 100 people saved in the revival. When I went in, about 10 people is just dead as a doorknob. And people just start coming from everywhere, all over the country, out of the hills and out of the valleys. They have a revival that get all over the two or three counties, you know. And I baptized in one of them churches one time. It was out in an old brush harbor. And I baptized 127. In the coldest stream in Alton, Missouri, the coldest stream, I tell you, I like the frozen, and it was in August when we baptized 120 in that ice cold water. You know, there was a trout stream. They wanted to be baptized. I said, well, that's a trout stream. It's going to be cold. They said, we don't care how cold it is. Just put us under. I was out there for about 2 hours baptizing people, and that's what we need today. We need to get something going. And everybody has to participate in it. And if anybody don't participate in it, you know then that they're dead weight.
Amen.
Maybe I better quit. Listen to what it says. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. If you use milk, it's unskillful. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, the mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now somebody might say, this ain't doing me any good, but this is to help anybody to listen to it.
Amen, right.
Because it's positive preaching.
Yes.
Right. I'm not that, no, it's positive.
Yes.
This is not my preaching, this is Paul's preaching. You know what I'm doing? I'm just telling you what Paul said.
Yeah, amen.
Huh? I'm just rehearsing what Paul said. How many believe Paul don't know what he's doing? Well, I've read his books until I thoroughly believe that he was a man of God.
Amen.
Yes. I read the books that Peter wrote. I fully believe that they're men of God. They're mature men.
Oh, they are, yeah.
Strong men. Walking in the faith. Overcoming. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. That's what we have to do, is overcome the world. The world is a big weight to most people. But we have to overcome it. We don't participate in the world. We're in the world, I said, but we're not out of the world. I can truthfully say that I'm in the world. I'm all over the world. But I'm not of the world. That's the good part of it. We're in it, but we're not of it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Got to get out of this worldliness. Got to get out of this sinfulness. Got to get out of this here being loaded down, weighted down. We got to have patience. And so that therefore it says, but strong meat belong to them who are full age, who abuse use, have their senses exercised to discern both good. Now here's what we have to be able to do, discern good and evil.
Amen.
You know, we can name it. We say that's evil. And the next thing that we'll look at, we might say that's good. Everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good. He was doing good. He went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. But you see, when it came time to sacrifice, he would sacrifice. Praying in the garden, he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'm going to go with your will. No matter how hard it hurts, no matter how I feel, I have to go through it. And he prayed and he prayed till his sweat became his blood, as blood. And he had to go through this awful crucifixion. Put him in a tomb. I had the wonderful privilege in 1973 of going in that tomb and sitting down where he lay.
Amen.
What an experience.
Hallelujah, brother.
He wasn't there. He's gone. He's risen.
Amen.
You know where he's risen in your heart? He's risen in my heart.
Yeah.
That's where he's risen at. He's risen. We need some more people. Rise up. Praise God. Whatever heads bowed,